God's been ghosting me for 42 years.
Holy ghosting you.
Yeah.
Is, I think, the phrase we would like to use. I'm praying. Nothing's happening. I'm getting holy ghosted over here.
I'm getting holy goddamn ghosted over here.
The father and the son went out for cigarettes and never came back. I'm getting holy ghosted.
Good use of the Trinity.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Take this pot and shove it. I've been working like a goddamn dog lately.
Oh, yeah. You just got
off work. I just got off work. I just did a show last night. I just did, a work and a show the night before. And then I just fucking, And they like to tug me around, man.
You're sturdy. You're like Boxer in Animal Farm. You're just you.
They're like, Danny, we need this. Danny, we need that. Danny, we need this. Danny, we need that. Blah, blah. And I'm like, what? Seven people just said shit. Like, and I'm that kind of guy. I just don't stick up for myself too much. I just go, okay, and then try to remember everything. Mm-hmm. And I'll nail about like 5 out of 7. and then somebody will come to me about the 2 out of 7 and be like, Danny, we asked you for this. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. And that's when I have to, okay, just breathe. Be with the world. Keep your feet on the ground, Danny. All right, I'm venting.
It's all good. In the immortal words of the philosophers, Blink-182, work sucks. I know.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So,
but you know what you've said kind of reminds me of a pretty prominent figure in the country music world that actually is the subject of today's episode.
Oh, wow. Nice segue.
Yeah. Somebody who was pulled in a lot of different directions and worked very hard and also sometimes struggled to advocate for himself. Look at that. It's all coming together.
I didn't even realize that. But you're totally right. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
And just in the same way that you are saving the burrito industry, Randy Travis.
I'm not trying to save this burrito industry,
country
by the
music.
Way.
No, you're a burrito hero.
Absolutely. Which, that's who we're talking about today. Let's go ahead and just bring it up. Let's do that dang intro.
Let's do that thing. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Take This Pod and Shove It, the podcast where comedians who are country fans build the ultimate country music playlist one song at a time. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Tyler Snodgrass. I've got a cat on my lap. I don't know if the mic is going to pick him up. He is trying to swipe at me because my...
That was hilarious.
Because he's interested in the cable that my head.
This is an actual cat on his lap. This is not a euphemism. This is also not
all literal. There's no metaphor here.
There's literally a cat on his lap.
That's a much longer intro than I normally give myself. So who is with me today other than Monster the Cat? It's my co-host. He is the forever to my always. It's Danny Maupin. What's up, Danny?
Oh, yeah. Well, as we've already discussed on the pod before, I'm going to outlive you all. So
it's canon on the show.
Of course, I will be forever and always. I am not the alpha and the omega, but I am the forever and the always.
You are the alpha and the omega.
I'm the what is it? Omnipotent? I'm the impotent. That's not true. Listeners to the pod, I have no problem getting an erection. Okay. Hey, howdy do you shovelos, you shoveheads, you dirty little shovel fuckers going out into the shove space, having fun on your shove base. Mm. You got to have a base, Mm-hmm. I'm Danny Moffitt.
Welcome to the show, everybody. We are not sponsored by Blue Chew because, as we mentioned, no problems there.
Not a problem there. All right. Yeah.
Not yet. Knock on wood. We'll see what tomorrow holds.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah.
So we're not sponsored by anyone except you, the listener. Let's just get this out of the way. We have a Patreon. If you enjoy the show, you can check out our Patreon where you can support the show. That's at patreon.com/takethispod. There are tiers you can choose from. You can get access to bonus episodes and all sorts of other good stuff. You know the deal. You're listening to a podcast. You've heard of Patreon. That is how we all afford to do anything. Yeah. So anyway.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Help us keep the lights on. And thank you for those that have.
Yes. We love you, Shovelos. Yeah. We appreciate it a lot. Today we are talking about Randy Travis. Randall Travowski. That's not his real name. That's not.
No. I was like, what did he mean? But like, Randy Travis is not his real name, but Randy Travowski. I was like, wait, I didn't hear that
Randall
one.
Randall Travowski. No.
He's actually, Polish? He's the Polish country singer?
I was thinking, how do you make Travis longer? And I guess I could have just gone with his real name, which is, he has the last name Trawick, which is a last name
Trawick, I've never heard.
I thought that was kind of a cool name, but I guess Travis is a better country music name, right?
Well, maybe we'll get into this later, but I think he had to do a rebranding.
Yes, he did. Yeah, there was after several years of trying to make it, he eventually lands on going to the name Randy Travis. We'll get into all that. First of all, we are going to go ahead and announce the song that we are adding to our ultimate country music playlist, a playlist we think is so good it can get non-country fans into country music. And we are going to add the excellent Randy Travis song Forever and Ever, Amen.
Oh baby, I'm gonna love you forever, forever and ever, amen. As long as old men sit and talk about the weather, as long as old women sit and talk about old men, if you wonder how long I'll be faithful.
Which sounds like it could be a gospel song, but here's the twist. Even though dude has released a ton of gospel music.
That's true.
This is a secular love song that just invokes, you know, Christian or gospel phrasing, right?
Yeah.
But it's a great song. It's so catchy. It's a lot of fun. But we were going through the list of Randy Travis songs to choose from. Immediately we were both like, well, I think this is it.
This is the one. I mean, it's his number one for sure. I mean, he's had several number one hits, but it's his like number one song. Like it's how you know Randy Travis.
Sure.
And it's great. It's breezy and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like,
there's a lot of hooks in it. There's like different hooks that are happening here and there. And it's just really fun.
It's a great little love song. It's one of those where, you know, you hope you have like a little old pickup truck that's got one of the bench seats, you know, and you play that and you're driving. You got one hand on the wheel and then the lady's just on your fucking shoulder. Mm-hmm. You're holding her. It's one of those kind of tunes. I don't know. We haven't called, you know, we've said barn burners, wistful weepers, rug cutters. Mm-hmm. What is this one?
I feel like this is like this is like a trotter, you know, like you have a little hitch in your giddy up walking down the street listening to this song.
A little hitch in your giddy up and somebody notices and says, okay, here we go. Well, we're going to start a wife now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, which is also funny because he's been divorced like four times or something.
I think just, well, let me see. Maybe just the one time, actually.
I don't know how many times.
Just the one time, though. That is a pretty significant divorce and marriage and pre-marriage. A lot going on there.
You want to get into that?
Well, I think we should start with this. How were you first exposed to Randy Travis? Because I know my first exposure and my second exposure, which actually, I heard his voice way before I knew who he was.
Sure.
But I can say mine, but I'm curious what yours is also.
So, I mean, I don't know the specific time, but it was WAMZ Radio 97.5 from Louisville, Kentucky, just playing this song nonstop.
The song Forever and Ever, Amen.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so that's how I found out about Randy Travis. And for some dumb reason, I just was like, all right, I don't really care about this guy. I mean, I liked that song, but like he just, boom, off my radar. You know, it was around the time where I was like, you know, experimenting more with music.
Sure.
You know?
I mean, that makes sense. So, it's not very rebellious or sexy to listen to Randy Travis, let's be honest. He's
exactly
very
much
an old soul. You know,
exactly. Yeah, and it's great, but I was just like, I heard it all the time, and that's maybe what drove me away from it,
because
it was like so played. And then so I just like get away and then went back and started listening like a few years ago. And I was like, this shit fucking rules. Mm-hmm. This is so fucking good.
He's just got a great voice. I can't say the music is always like, you know, it's not really driving music for me most of the time. But I cannot deny that like his baritone voice is incredible. It's unparalleled.
Oh, yeah.
He's got such a good singing voice.
Yeah, I mean, like a lot of people compare him to like George Jones, mm-hmm. and which is what some people say is the best country singer of all time.
Yeah,
you know, and he's like bringing all that back to go back to that like neo-traditional thing. Because mm-hmm. all right, you got Garth Brooks, okay, which I love,
mm-hmm.
we love.
Yeah, Garth even says that. Well, Garth credits Randy Travis with quote unquote saving country music, right? He says that like he wouldn't right. have had a career if Randy Travis didn't kick open the door for more for the neo traditional country sound, right? Like if
right. But like Bart Garth.
Are you having a stroke?
That's a new character. Bart Garth.
Bart Garth.
Eat my shorts. Anyway. Garth Brooks is like a rock star,
right?
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And
yeah, he's filling arenas and doing pop yeah. country. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's like rock and roll star.
Right.
Basically yeah. he's AC/DC. Mm-hmm. And then yeah, Randy Travis is George Jones. Totally different things.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
His star rose in the mid to late 80s and, you know, continued all through the 90s, of course. But he's one of the big reasons neo-traditional country was put on the map, like the reason it thrived at all. And we've covered other neo-traditional artists. You know, we covered George Strait not that long ago. Reba started as a neo-traditional country artist, right? Alan Jackson was maybe the biggest neo-trad guy of the 90s, right? But basically, Randy Travis made it possible for all of those people to be as successful as they were is I think the yeah. argument that at least a lot of like music historians would make. And you know, growing up, I didn't listen to country music really at all. My family didn't. So my first exposure to Randy Travis was on a little television program called Hey Arnold. as a child of the 90s,
yeah,
I
yeah,
loved
yeah, yeah,
Hey Arnold.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's an episode. Are you familiar with this at all? I know this may be way before. Like
I don't know about this specific episode, but I mean, I know Hey Arnold.
Yeah. So there's an episode yeah. where the titular Arnold's neighbor, Mr. Wynn, who's an Asian man, secretly has an amazing singing voice. And the singing voice is Randy Travis. He voices this character when he sings. And they like get him on like a version. They get the character on like a version of the Grand Ole Opry and he like has this big like radio hit. And then, you know, at the end of the day, of course, he decides, this isn't really for me. This stardom thing, it's too stressful. I just sing for the love of it. But when he sings, it's Randy Travis. And then Randy Travis also plays another country singer named, I think his name is Travis Randall.
Yeah. Oh my god, they just switched the letters, yeah. basically. Yeah, yeah. yeah.
So he plays a character named Travis Randall. And of course, I had no idea that that was like a real guy at all until, cut to, several years later, I become a King of the Hill fan as a teenager, and there's Randy Travis yes. playing himself as the villain yeah. in that one episode
yeah.
where they go to the country music fair. And that's when I like realized he was like a real person. And
he's actually real.
Yeah, he's real. And I eventually put together like it's a real guy from the Hey Arnold episode. And then I really wouldn't listen to his music for another 20 years, basically. But
well, yeah, I mean, I took so much time away from his music because I feel like I got kind of flooded with it early on. Mm-hmm. But like I never like paid much attention. And like it's one of those things where you kind of need a little time in your life, a little life experience or everything to understand like what the songs are about.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, eh, okay. I'm 9.
Right.
Who cares?
None of this is gonna hit
you. You know, like yeah. I'd rather go play the Beavis and Butthead video game on my Sega Genesis, if that's okay.
Well, yeah.
You know, right.
I would still rather do that than most things.
Right.
Ripe old age of 35, that still sounds great to me.
I still have never beat that game. It's so hard.
That was every time they made like a video game version of a TV show or a movie, it was so hard. I don't know if it's because it was like thrown together. Yeah. And so they just didn't program balance very well. But like, I remember, man, like the Aladdin game was hard. That Lion King game was hard. I was playing a Tiny Toons Adventure game, a Ren and Stimpy game. They were hard as hell, man.
Yeah. It's like, this is supposed to be fun.
Yeah, this is obviously for children. It's an impossible task to beat this game based on two dudes who laugh and fart.
Yeah, exactly. And like I was trying to get to a Gore concert I've still never seen.
Is that what you do in the game? Is you're trying to?
Yeah, for the Beavis and Butthead game you have to go through multiple different levels to eventually find your lost Gore tickets.
That's so funny.
Or something like that. I don't know. I haven't played it in so long. Anyway, Gore's involved.
Which is a group that should have their own video game, I feel like, also.
Yeah.
They're tailor-made for some sort of RPG, I think.
Yeah. I've still never been to that goddamn Gore concert on there.
Dang.
I mean, I don't have a Sega Genesis anymore.
All right. Either, we got to get you an emulator. That's for another time, though.
Oh, sure.
That's maybe for another day.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
But, yeah, it's,
anyway, back to...
I'll let us go down a video game tangent. You know,
we're just doing, you know... Randy Travis helped us take it all back. Like you said, he kicked down the door so that, like, even people like Sturgill Simpson could exist right now.
Yeah, I have to take like other people's commentary about this for what it is, because like I wasn't alive in 1986 to witness like, oh man, pop country is dying and neo trad is like taking over. This is what the people wanted all along. So I don't know. It's hard to say, I guess, but he does get that credit a lot, that like he is the guy that saved the country music industry and like kind of allowed things to like reset and find its roots again so that it could change, you know, because like in music, in all forms of art, it's like a pendulum swinging, right? I think we've used that comparison before. And when things get too outlaw or get too pop, there's always like the backlash is we go back to traditional. And when things are when too much traditional shit's popular, we get Shania Twain and Garth Brooks, right? And when,
you know, right. And, yeah.
So
some people want to liven it up. Some people want to take it back.
Yeah.
And that's just how it's cyclical.
Totally.
It's just how it goes.
Yeah. We get sick and, of hearing the same thing over and over again. So eventually, you know.
Yeah. But like, I hear a lot of like Waylon in his like the soft Waylon songs.
Mm, okay.
And him and stuff like that too, which, I mean, come on. So he had so many phases of his career, you know. He was neo-traditional. He was incredibly gospel. He's put out some bluegrass records.
Yep.
And just kind of crushed every second of it. He does have some religious stuff. That's not my favorite thing.
Yeah. He does have a lot of religious albums. And a lot of that, much like, you know, Johnny Cash did the same thing. He would often release religious albums almost as like a expression of like penance, you know, because he dealt with a lot of demons himself. And
Randy Travis, goddamn, for sure. Oh yeah. Randy Travis, the Randy goddamn, that's for goddamn sure. Mm-hmm. And I mean, one time he got arrested for drinking in the back of a church parking lot.
Yeah, and then like he took off all his clothes and ran away from the cops or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, and he's stolen multiple cars. Like he's,
yeah. I mean, this is also when he was a teenager. Like him and his brother, they got into some real trouble, and he had hotwired trucks and stole them. And you know, part of the way he took off as a country singer is he entered this contest, which apparently they used to have all the time, because that's like how half of these people we've covered they like. You know, God discovers they entered a contest trying to win $100. Well, anyway, he's doing it with his brother. He's playing. Randy is playing rhythm guitar. His brother's playing lead. Randy's singing. And they're in this contest. they advance to the next round, but his brother has to go to juvie.
Exactly.
And so he has to finish the contest alone, but winds up winning. That's how he meets Lib Hatcher, who is a bar owner who would become his mentor, yeah, his manager, and his secret lover, and then wife.
Yeah. And basically, and secret wife for a long time.
Secret wife, yeah. Dude. And then also, yeah, basically, she had him kind of under like a conservatorship sort of thing. They had, yeah, a very complicated relationship, and they divorced.
This isn't very far off from like Elvis and Priscilla, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, actually, Elvis and Colonel Tom Parker, they had
both of that too. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Colonel Tom Parker. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Like, just push, go do this.
Yeah.
This is what you do.
Lib Hatcher is the Elvis and the Colonel Tom Parker, depending on the context.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I mean, yeah, yeah. So apparently, yeah,
there's a Venn diagram there. Yeah, that's definitely all I can say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that much about Lib Hatcher, but from what I've been able to learn about her is she is like 18 years older than Randy Travis, and I think they start a secret romantic relationship when he is like 17, and she's already started to manage this this young singing talent, and it takes,
which he is currently like working in the restaurant that she owns.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's working like during the day and then playing six nights a week.
Yeah.
There. Mm-hmm. So she's like, she's working this boy to the bone.
Yeah. So she's his boss in many ways, and also is like sort of like a mother figure. It's very weird. And
there's an Oedipus thing going on here.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it's like, let's call it what it is. It's pretty gross in a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah. It's fucking, it's disgusting.
Yeah. To skip ahead, for what it's worth, because, you know, I don't know, relationships are always complicated, whether they're work, romantic, or both. Randy Travis, even when he was inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame in 2016, he, with his new wife, gave Lib Hatcher credit for making him famous, because she did. It's quite likely we wouldn't.
She really did do the job.
Yeah. I don't think there's a very good chance we would not know who Randy Travis is if it weren't for Lib Hatcher's like tenacity and like just constant working and promoting of him and with him. Because it took him a long time to get that, you know, first breakthrough, and she apparently put in the work, and he gives her all the credit for that. And in the process, he basically had very little to no freedom, and like wasn't allowed to like have a cell phone or like talk to people. And
yeah,
it seems like a pretty weird personal life that he had. But
yeah, that's incredibly close to, yeah, like you were saying, Elvis and what was his manager,
Colonel Tom Parker. Yeah.
Colonel Tom Parker, because, like, you know, Elvis, and criticism, wherever you want to put it, yeah, he stole a lot of people's music, mm-hmm, and stuff like that. I understand that. But Colonel Tom Parker fucking didn't let him ever tour internationally.
Right. Yeah.
Because Colonel Tom Parker was not allowed to tour internationally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he couldn't make any money off Elvis being away.
Yeah,
right. Yeah,
exactly.
Also, he couldn't have him under his thumb. He might, you know, Elvis might learn something.
Yeah, you might learn something. Yeah. You know, but the whole time though, I will say this about Randy Travis. I mean, he just continued to put out quality material.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
through all of that, and there, a lot of that was probably like the Nashville music machine and some songwriters, of course, mm-hmm, that should definitely be, you know, credited for it, because he's one of the most famous country artists of all time. I feel like I've been saying this a lot lately, but like, it's wild we're just now talking about him instead of a joke, instead of saying Randy Travesty. But he's had his travesties. Yeah, yeah. He's definitely had his travesties.
Yeah, he's come up on the show a lot because he's sort of a goofy figure. And of course, we did a whole bonus episode on country music in King of the Hill, and he is a central figure in that, you know, very niche conversation. But
right.
But you're right. I mean, he is one of the biggest names probably still in country music, you know, from the past 40 years. He is a Hall of Fame inductee. He's got 22 number one singles. He's got 31 top 10 hits. He's got a bunch of platinum and multi-platinum albums. And he has a bigger like film career than most other country singers, I think, also, you know, except for like,
right,
except for maybe like
Christopherson,
Willie Nelson, Johnny Cash, Dolly, probably except for those,
right?
He's way up there on like television appearances. In fact, if you want to, I made a little list of some of the more fun ones if you'd like to roll through that with me real quick. So, of course, we've already talked about Hey Arnold and King of the Hill, which are two pretty big ones. He also, I believe, had a recurring role on the television program Touched by an Angel, which I've never seen. But
all right.
I think he was on that.
I've seen some Touched by an Angel. I could see that. Yeah. Okay. I think that's like a ghost sister or something that visits the family or something.
I really don't know. But he was on that. He played the role of Ideal Man on one episode of Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
I do definitely know my Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
You remember that?
I love that. Oh, hell yeah, dude. That was like Friday night TV. That was like after Family Matters or something, you know, like it just spilled in. It was a nonstop rock block going on Friday nights as a 12-year-old boy, you know. Yeah. But Ideal Man,
Priest Nick, that's the that's what he's credited as. That's the character he played, was Ideal Man. So I don't know if there's like Ideal fantasy sequence or something, but
I want to start making a character called Ideal Man. He probably knows Seeing Eye Man. Yeah,
that's a callback.
I'm the king, baby.
So he also has made appearances on Matlock. He was in the Patrick Swayze movie Black Dog. Matlock.
And this was definitely the older Matlock.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And Andy Griffith was Matlock.
Yeah. I don't know what he did in Matlock, but he's in there somewhere.
I'm sorry. That makes me so happy. That makes me laugh so hard.
He also was on an episode of Frasier. I don't remember it, but he was there. He voices a shoehorn on an episode of Blue's Clues.
What in the fuck? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
He voices a shoehorn? Did you just talk a different language?
You know what a shoehorn is, right?
Oh, yeah. How you can slip your foot in?
Yeah, he plays, I think.
He voices one of those?
You know, because it's like all that show, it's a bunch of objects that are living, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't watch kids' shows.
Well, yeah, neither do I, but I'm aware of the show. It's a blue dog, and there's like, you know, a salt and pepper shaker that talk or whatever.
Anyway. Is that what's been going on the whole time? I didn't know that.
I guess so, yeah. All right. So he shows up on that show. He plays a country music celebrity in National Treasure 2, Book of Secrets, the Nicolas Cage movie.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Because I've seen that.
I don't remember that either. Maybe he just shows remember up that happening. Second. Yeah, he's in it, though. He's in National Treasure 2, Book of Secrets.
And he is a National Treasure.
And look at that.
Two.
As well. And then, of course, amongst other shows that I didn't bother to list, he's a Hee-Haw man. He's been on Hee-Haw because he got to, you know?
Of course.
How could you say no?
If Hee-Haw was on now, I would be fucking sending emails nonstop.
That would be the goal, right? A lot of comics are like, I'm trying to get on The Tonight Show.
That's
I'm trying to
get
a Netflix special. Yeah. No, man. Hee-Haw.
No.
That's that.
Get me on Hee-Haw. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cast member on Hee-Haw. We don't need SNL. We got Hee-Haw, man.
Yeah. Fuck that shit. I need 10-second sketches about country living real quick.
Yeah.
You know, like, and then somebody as good as, you know, Buck Owens playing tunes.
Mm-hmm.
And great.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was on Hee-Haw.
Yeah, yeah. That's, and there's other stuff I probably missed, but that's just a short list of some of the over 40, like, televised and filmed appearances that he has made. So he's got a pretty good resume.
Well, the man's been busy his whole life.
Yeah, right. Never stopped working. And you were telling me before we started recording that, I mean, I knew that he came from sort of an abusive household. That he had, you said he had kind of like a mean show dad kind of situation.
Yeah, like it's one of those weird balances where it's like the dad was like really supportive in the way it's like, well, yeah, I'm gonna work and I'm gonna make you money to like buy you the instruments and everything you need to do, but this is what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you know, like they didn't want to like perform together, him and his brother, you know, they didn't really want it. They were just like, oh, playing music is fun. That's that. And they're like, no, here you go. This is what you know, Jackson Five-ish.
Yeah.
You know, is this controversial to say that they both produced results?
Well, it's like Beyonce's dad also, right?
But like, is, yeah, exactly. Is, but like,
there is, I mean, obviously you can't advocate for any of this and you should.
I would never, but never, it, never.
But yeah, he went from one overly controlling situation to another. And
cause I think he was used to it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It became normal and he was driven to succeed. And I mean, for all of the trauma that it probably created for him, it did, you know, there were results at least.
What?
There was a payoff at some point by the late 80s for sure.
I also believe this is why he acted out later on in his life, you know, why he was stealing cars, why he was trying to get cigarettes naked at a gas station after crashing a car into a telephone pole and stuff like that. Or, you know, like just he found his own ways to act out, but he was always like alone when he was doing it because it was his time to like, all right, I can be me right now. Because he wasn't allowed to be him for so much of his life.
Yeah, and I think he was sober for most of his life also. And he really kind of, he fell off the wagon around the time his marriage to Lib Hatcher was dissolving. And that was sort of a coping mechanism for him. But of course he couldn't handle himself. And that's you know, led to a DUI and all sorts of, you know, legal trouble and bad behavior and stuff like that. Yeah.
That's why we say it's a Randy travesty here. Because he was not a self-sabotaging man. I think the world like broke on him and then he became a self-sabotaging man for a little bit. But then, as you said before, turned to God.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
He turned to that guy up there.
He's,
that you all talk about. I don't get it, but
he leaning on the Lord. You know, it's just that's you know, that's a healthier response, I guess, is to release.
It is a healthier
release
response.
A gospel don't album as opposed to crashing another car into a telephone pole.
That's true.
Let's get into some music. He releases his first album, Storms of Life, in 86. It's got some hits, does pretty good. And then after that, boy, oh boy, he is just a skyrocket, right? We've got Always
On Fire.
He's on fire. We got Always and Forever after that. Ole 8x10, No Holding Back, Heroes and Friends, High Lonesome. He's got now Greatest Hits albums coming out. These are all albums titles, of course. And he is just, but he's just blowing up. Like everything he touches turns to gold. And this is, as we've talked about on other episodes, a pretty good era for other people like that. I mean, you know, George Strait's also doing great. Reba's doing great. This is the heyday for new traditional country music. And Travis is, he's kind of the poster child for all of this at the time, at least.
Turned it all around. Because it was really big Nashville soundy before that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is stripped down. This is just like, hey, I've got a hell of a voice and a good four-piece band.
Mm-hmm.
Let's crush it.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, totally. And it's just a good solid sound. It reminds you very much of like what if you imagine Hank Williams Sr. surviving and living in the 80s, it's like this is what Hank would probably sound like, you know?
Yeah.
I think that was kind of their goal. On his first album, he has one of my favorite songs of his, Digging Up Bones.
I'm digging up bones.
Digging up bones.
I'm digging up bones.
Digging up bones.
Zoom. sitting alone digging up bones.
Which is a real fun one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Also, the only country song I can think of that has the word exhuming in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Whether it's him or a songwriter, who decides to just, we'll use that word.
Yeah. Like, I guess that's,
what does it rhyme with?
It kicks it off. It goes, I'm digging up bones, exhuming. And I want to clarify, it's exhuming with an apostrophe, and it's not even exhuming.
Of course.
Right? Exhuming things that's better left alone.
Okay. But, all right. Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, $10 I love
word
the use
in that country
it,
song. But... Yeah, I love it. I think it's super funny that they put it in there. You know, we needed
it scared
we needed,
a few people off.
We needed Randy Travis to use the word exhuming so that Faith Hill could use the word centrifugal force. You know, a decade and a half later.
Yeah. Expanding vocabularies.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great tune. He had another hit with the song from that album called 1982, which was confusing to me because it made me think the album was from 1982. It's not important, just a thing I'm having to deal with in my own life.
Operator, please connect me with 1982. I need to make apologies for what I didn't do.
And then the next year he releases the album Always and Forever, where he is just looking real brooding and sexy on the cover. Also blinged out. He's got jewelry on. And this is where we get the song Forever and Ever Amen, which of course, as we've said, is a big one. Probably his signature song, you could say.
Yeah, definitely his signature song. I mean, I don't know how long it was on the charts, but like it was a number one hit.
It was number one for 3 weeks, but on the charts for certainly much longer than that.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't escape it growing up as a kid. Just like, you know, well, I'm still growing up as an adult too, but I couldn't escape it growing up because like, it was just everywhere. It was everywhere.
Yeah, at that time. Yeah, I imagine so. It seems like it's a very enduring song, and it actually is one that's quite frequently covered. So we'll have actually some things to say in Smothered and Covered this week. Spoiler alert. And, you know, despite all of these, you know, stories about how he wasn't allowed to, you know, live a complete life, he was definitely under the thumb of his wife and manager, he does seem to be a pretty fun guy. I mean, just, you know, using the King of the Hill example, that's a hilarious episode, and he is so funny in it, and he plays the bad guy, he plays himself, but he's like he's a plagiarist and a gaslighter and a jerk,
right?
And he's like so funny in that episode.
Yeah, it's just, it is hilarious.
It's just hilarious. They wrote this part, and Randy Travis is like, "Yeah, I would love to do that. I would love to.
Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, I'll do it." I think he's just a guy. He's like a showbiz guy.
Yeah,
he's like, "Yeah, tell me where to hit my mark. I got you. Done." You know what I mean?
Right.
And we'll crush it every time. So that's why he gets asked to do so many different kind of projects. And why he's done so many different kinds of styles of music. He's just like, yep, where's the mic? Got it.
Yeah, he's just a
hit record.
Is a professional the whole time. I mean, yeah, it's truly what it is. He was created and trained to do things correctly in music and in showbiz. So all that makes sense.
So it's just in him.
Yeah. So a couple other things about Forever and Ever Amen, the song. It was obviously a huge song for the country music community. It was a big mainstream hit. It won the Grammy that year for Best Country and Western Song. And 88 was the year of those awards. It also got the Song of the Year at the ACM Awards and the CMA Awards. Both of those things, both of those acronyms that are very, very similar. It was his first solo single to go gold. So it was, definitely like a big breakthrough for him also. And it was written by these two guys, Paul Overstreet and Don Schlitz. who are
Schlitz.
Schlitz. I know. Drink up, baby. I haven't had a Schlitz in a
long time. I was going to say,
it's spelled the same way. Yeah.
It's spelled the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't had a Schlitz in forever.
It was a big Chicago beer. I feel like I only find it when I'm in Chicago or like that area, maybe Wisconsin also. Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple things about these guys. So these guys are hit makers. They are huge. So Don Schlitz, we'll start with Schlitz, of course. He is perhaps best known.
If it's Schlitz, it fits. How about that?
I love it.
That's a good, because OJ just died. Anyway, see how that's three jokes in one?
Whoa.
I'm that good, folks. I'm that good.
He is that good.
Wow.
So these two guys, either together or solo, have written tons of big songs. Don Schlitz, for example, wrote The Gambler, the Kenny Rogers song. He also wrote
When you know when to hold, know when to walk away, know when to run. Oh, and by the way, after hearing that, if you want to come on down to old Bob Seger's Chicken and More, we're going to go ahead and... We don't wear pants on Tuesdays.
That's a special promotion.
Come on down to Bob Seger's Chicken and More. We don't. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead. You were saying scholarly stuff, I had to get stupid.
You're fine. It's good to be reminded of our fantasy restaurant.
Bob Seger's Chicken.
Bob Seger's Chicken and More. All the windows are open. You're going to be eating against the wind.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, so he wrote The Gambler, which, I mean, that's like one of the biggest songs of the 70s. He could have just written that and been like, we're good. But
we're done. Yeah. Here's the pool. Here's the house. Yeah. Let's just take it easy. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah.
But he also wrote When You Say Nothing at All, which, of course, is made famous by the late, great Keith Whitley, later covered by Alison Krauss and Union Station. He's got too many songs that you've heard of or haven't heard of, possibly to list. But just want to say he is also this guy, Schlitz. He has also written songs for Garth Brooks, for Tanya Tucker, for the Judds, for Mary Chapin Carpenter, for Loretta Lynn. And then a bunch more for Randy Travis, including another one that I really like, which is Deeper Than the Holler. He wrote that for him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. His funniest credit, if you're curious, I always love this kind of stuff, I think, is that he was commissioned to write the theme song for the Point of Light program, which was...
What is that?
So this is something that George H.W. Bush put together. It's an international nonprofit organization headquartered in Georgia, dedicated to solving social problems. Okay, so it's this program H.W. Bush put together. He commissioned...
Everything you just said was words, but nothing.
Yeah, I was just reading the Wikipedia page.
But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Say that again real quick.
Okay. Yeah, let's see.
I want to hear it repeated.
Points of Light is an international nonprofit, nonpartisan organization headquartered in Georgia, United States, dedicated to engaging more people and resources in solving serious social problems through voluntary service. And Danny's asleep.
Until it got to voluntary service, I was like,
what does any of this mean?
This is none of this means anything. It's just long words to make people feel dizzy.
Yeah.
And give money.
Yeah.
It's for lobbyists.
Yeah, basically.
I'm sure.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I never heard of it until just now. But basically, here's the point. I promise there's a turnaround for this. So George H.W. Bush puts together this organization or this program, commissions this songwriter to write a song for it. He writes a song called Point of Light, and it becomes a number three country hit for Randy Travis in 1991.
Why not? You know, you might as well.
Yeah. So that's
why not.
Yeah. So that's fun.
Like I said, well, is this when he was still with the controlling
in 1991?
Secret.
Oh yeah.
Wife.
Yes. In 1991, yeah, actually.
Slash manager.
Yeah. In 91, I believe
he was just
when
he was maybe just told to do it.
Possibly. Yeah.
And he just did it.
Or he's like, yeah. I mean, that's probably actually what happened. but also he's like, wait, this guy Schlitz got me a number one hit. I'm going to, oh, sure, you tell me to sing. I'll, you say sing, I say how high, you know?
You give me enough Schlitz, I'll give you a number one hit.
It takes Schlitz.
Order up. We got. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's just math.
It's simple math, folks.
Yeah. Come on, it's easy.
Yeah. And then just real quick about the other songwriter, in case you are curious, Paul Overstreet.
Yes, I am.
Paul Overstreet is that guy's name. He's also just written a ton of.
Was he named after a Brit? Overstreet.
Oh my gosh. That's so stupid. Why were you named after being a bridge?
Oh, we got a beer man and we got a bridge man. All right, we'll figure it out here. And all right, we got two sides of the coin. Doesn't seem like a problem to me. Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. Let's make some of the best songs ever.
Yeah. So this guy. Paul Overstreet, he has written a bunch of songs for Randy Travis, including the aforementioned Digging Up Bones and Deeper Than the Holler. He's a co-writer on that. He's also written songs for like the Oak Ridge Boys, the Judds.
Who's the Judge? I do want a country artist called the Judge.
Winona Judge. That's the new Judge Judy, is Winona Judge.
That's so much better than Judge Judy. Winona Judge.
And she just makes very, very hasty legal decisions about people's personal lives.
Hasty legal decisions without any credibility.
Yeah.
Well, you think you're fancy? I'll tell you this. You're going to owe her about $17 for that goddamn garden hose.
No one else on earth can send you to prison faster. Than Winona Judge.
Oh.
called Love Can Build a Bridge. I wonder if that's inspired by his last name.
I'm going to say yes.
I don't think so.
I'm going to say yes.
Here's, okay.
No, come on. We're all allowed to live in a world where that could be true. And I would prefer to live in that world.
Yeah, I don't want to take that away from you. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I'm setting this up for a fact that I think you're really going to enjoy, where even though he's written these great neo-traditional country songs over the years, Paul Overstreet is also the writer of She Thinks My Tractor's Sexy.
Kenny Chesney?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
By Kenneth Chesnut. That's right.
By the old Kenneth Chesnut. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
So,
I mean, it is a catchy tune.
Yeah.
This guy's got millions and millions of dollars, and nobody's ever seen his face, and that rules.
Totally. Yeah, there's no picture on Wikipedia or anything.
Yeah.
I think he has released some albums of his own music, but of course, only other people have made his songs hits. And, you know, at some point we will do another Randy Travis episode. I realize we've almost hit an hour and we've just barely scratched the surface on, you know, just the amount of music and legacy this guy has.
Yeah.
But Danny, I wanted to share one other thing with you while we're on the topic of songwriters. He has had songs written for him by none other than Mark Knopfler. Mark Knopfler has written songs for Randy Travis.
Yeah. God damn, Dire Straits, Mark Knopfler, Money for Nothing and Chicks for Free.
Yeah.
Fucking Randy Travis.
Yeah. So
just that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we love it. It's always really cool when an artist is like, yeah, I write my own songs. These come from the heart. But also it's so fun to just see what these songwriters like do and who picks what. I think that's a really interesting and unique thing about the Nashville and country music system, you know, is just the variety of these people wind up writing.
I mean, I think they all hang out in like the same scene. So like, oh, I know this guy. He helped me make a number one hit. And then I know this guy. And, you know, we're all they're just around each other a lot because they enjoy the machine that it is. And they like seeing music and like knowing, like Nashville's a pretty cool, fun town like that. And I think the musicians have their own little hideaways that they get to. And you know, it's like a comedian party. It's like all of a sudden you're, you know, hanging out with like, all right. And, you know, just giving each other punch-ups on jokes and stories or whatever.
Yeah. And comedy is also a pretty, it's a system that once you've broken through, it's great. And until then, it's a lot of struggle. And you're like, but I guess I love it. That's why I'll keep doing it.
I love it. I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah. So I guess the way we can sort of wrap up for now on our first episode of Randy Travis is, you know, he just all throughout the 90s, he keeps having hits. He's doing really good. He eventually makes a pivot to many more gospel tinged songs, including he has a real big hit with this song called Three Wooden Crosses, which is the only gospel song I can think of that uses the word hooker multiple times. Really takes me out of the song every time he says it.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. And then, but so he's just, you know, he's plugging along. He remains married to his manager, Lib Hatcher, until 2010. Then he kind of gets, he falls back on the bottle, has some trouble, has a stroke. In, I think, like 2013, if I have that correct.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
I think that was it. And pretty serious situation. He lost the ability to sing, talk, and walk for some amount of time. And he eventually, you know, got, you know, back on his feet, so to speak. And I think he's still, even though he's had some health issues since then, he has still, you know, made appearances on stage. He still made an effort to like release music and do duets and stuff like that. And he remarried somebody, and he talked about, like, you know, she married me knowing that I'm a country music star and I'm very successful. But when they got together, he was very sick and not performing, not working. And he is like, this is real love. So,
yeah.
And he's still to this day,
that's fantastic,
for all of its complicated things, he credits Lib Hatcher with getting him to where he is. So I don't know. I'm going to leave that between them and the Lord, but it's pretty crazy situation.
That's up to them and group therapy. Yeah, you know, that's up to them and whatever else. But listen, if they're all smiling, if they're all happy and they're all counting their fucking dollars, who gives a shit,
right.
I guess. Yeah. But it needs to be the smiling and happy first.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's just a little bit of old Randy Bruce Trawick, aka Randy Travis, aka Randy Ray, before he changed his name to Randy Travis, aka Randy Travesty. And I guess this is a good time to mention as any, I believe we still have Randy Travesty shirts available in our merch store. You can find a link to that, I believe, in the episode notes. I'll double check on that. But yeah, if you are interested in any Take This Pod and Shove It merch, we haven't talked about this in like a year, but we do have some merch, including an original design of a skeletal Randy Travis that says it's a Randy Travis.
And who designed it?
Well, I designed it.
Tyler Snodgrass designed it. God damn it. A fucking fantastic artist. I can't hold a goddamn pen to even write down my jokes. And you make this beautiful stuff. Check it out. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, check it out. Yeah, and those of you on the Patreon, there's a discount code that you will get access to automatically. So another reason to hop on the Patreon. Real quick, let's go ahead into Smothered and Covered, and then we'll do some Rex. How's that sound?
Oh, yeah. I love it.
So as I teased before, there are quite a few covers of this song. There is a cover that is like on a celebrating Randy Travis album. It's the Zac Brown Band and Randy Travis together doing it. There's a duet between Ronan Keating and Shania Twain. They do a version of it. Josh Turner has got a version. Someone named Brent Morgan. There's just a ton of people that have covered this song. Paul Overstreet has his own version of it that he released on an album. I mean, But we all know that probably the best cover is the VeggieTales version from the album Bob and Larry Go Country.
I did not know about that one. I was never a VeggieTales kid.
I wasn't either. That was of my era, and I grew up in church, but very against brand. I was never a VeggieTales kid. So
I don't know shit about the VeggieTales. Well, I don't even know what vegetables they are.
It's a cucumber and a tomato. I know that.
That's it?
Well, no, they're the main characters, but there's a lot of other vegetables that show up.
Okay.
And they talk. They retell Bible stories, and sometimes they sing silly songs.
At least give me enough to make a goddamn salad. Cucumber and tomato. Well, yeah. You can barely get there.
You can barely do anything with that, I know, right?
Yeah.
Should we listen to a little bit of Bob and Larry Go Country?
Yeah, sure.
Let's hear a little bit.
I'm definitely down to hear it.
Hey, Jimmy, I got a nice love song for
the steel guitar sounds great, but
they hold their nose to sing.
Pretty bad good singing God. Voices. That is so, well, yeah. That is so annoying.
Yeah. But I do get the kind of nasally thing. Like, in all honesty. Randy Travis kind of has that, like, you know, the same way, like we talked about George Jones earlier. Like, sort of nasally, but a deep baritone all at the same time.
Sure. He can kind of sing at the top of his. He's got that deep baritone, but you can tell he can kind of sing in his nose if he needs to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Anyway, that is those are some songs tables. From Smothered and Covered. Yeah. Let's do some recommendations. I've just got a couple. I feel like getting acquainted with his massive catalog and figuring out what, you know.
Oh, it's giant.
What yeah. hits me. I wrote down a couple songs. I imagine we might even have some overlap, but do you want to get it started?
Oh, you go ahead because I'm pulling it up right quick right okay, now.
Okay, sure thing. All right, so here are some of the songs that I would recommend to a new Randy Travis listener. If you like what you've heard of this song, then maybe you'll like these as well. I'm really liking What'll You Do About Me? Is It Still Over?
Oh, yeah.
Digging Up Bones. And finally, Deeper Than the Holler is also one of my favorites from him. And of course, the song that he steals from Peggy Hill about having a Bogle trophy. That's a really great one, too.
Right. Let me go with, in no particular order, Hard Rock Bottom of Your Heart is a great one.
You've got a hard rock bottom, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah. Damn right. That thing's going to sink me. And Highway Junkie, it's just like a truck driving song, but it's also like, you know, double entendre.
Yeah.
Because they bring up white lines all the time, too, which is part of the highway and part of the, on the other hand, is a great tune.
Oh, yeah.
We mentioned 1982. And I mean, this is, it's almost impossible to narrow all of this down because,
yeah,
I mean, his catalog is giant.
Yes.
It's just giant.
For sure. He was, especially in those early years, he was just absolutely prolific. He was putting out, you know, an album a year, and like, you know, big albums too. And then even in the early 2000s, I mean, he's got 2000, 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005, 2007, 2008. I mean, he's releasing almost an album a year since the beginning of his career. And he had, in the middle of all that, he's had like, you know, personal turmoil in many different forms, health issues, like
exactly.
Yeah.
But he's still cranking.
Yep.
I'm surprised we're just not getting around to him. We've kind of teased about him for a while because he's kind of a teasable guy, but he's teasable because he's so fucking famous. So his wife is so public and, mm-hmm. you know, it just happens.
Right. Yeah. But
it's just teasing, Randy.
We
love you.
We saw you on the TV. We thought you could take a joke. We're sure you can. You seem like a fun guy.
Absolutely.
But anyway, so that'll do it for now on Randy Travis. I wouldn't be surprised if we cover him again down the road because he's got so many big hits and is such a pivotal figure in this era of country music. But that's going to do it for today. So let's go ahead and do the plugs and get out of here. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Take This Pod and Shove It. If you enjoyed the show, we hope that maybe you'll share this episode with a friend, or maybe if you're trying to get a friend into country music, find an episode about one of your favorite songs or artists and share that one. That's really a great way to spread the love of the show, but also spread the love of country music. You can also
spread the shove.
Spread the shove, baby. That's right. You also can, of course, support the show by going to patreon.com/takethispod. And, you know, joining the Patreon is a huge help for us. And we try to give you some goodies in exchange for your support in that way. You can also, just real quick, give us a 5-star rating on whatever podcast app you use. You can even write a review, even if it's just a couple nice words. That really makes a difference on, that makes a difference to the algorithm on whether or not they will like promote us or, you know, what's going on like the internal podcast charts and all that good stuff.
Tell the robots to like us,
please. I got a couple shows that I want to put out there. This Saturday.
Snodgrass is getting out there.
Snod's on the road.
What we got going on? Snod's mm-hmm. roading.
Yep. I'm either roading or I'm e-roading. So we're roading.
You don't want to. You don't want to do the latter.
Nope. No, you don't.
You want to eat the batter. You want to.
Onion rings.
Yeah.
So this Saturday, this weekend, I will be in Chicago. So Chicago Shovelos, it'd be great to see you. We haven't been to Chicago in like a couple years, or at least over a year. So we would love to, I'd love to see you there. I'm going to be at the Paper Machete at 3 p.m. on Saturday, April 20th. I will also be at Rad, the comedy show called Rad at Graham Cracker Comics. And then I will be at the Lincoln Lodge for their 8 p.m. show on Saturday and Sunday. So on the 21st, I will also be at the Lincoln Lodge. And then the following weekend, I will be in Springfield, Missouri, my beautiful hometown, the Queen City of the Ozarks, for Kenny DeFore Fest, which is a comedy festival in celebration of the life and the comedy and the influence and the impact of our late friend Kenny DeForest. There are shows all throughout the weekend. I'll be doing at least the show on the Thursday, which is the 25th, but I'll be around all weekend. If you come to one show or you come to all shows, it's guaranteed to be a great time. There's more information on DeForeFest.com, and all of that is going to be at the Blue Room Comedy Club. It's going to have a lot of just amazing comics. It's going to be just a really positive, sweet time. And there's going to even be former guests on the show. So, for example, Clark Jones, Megan Gailey, Lizzie Cassidy, to name a few. They are all doing spots throughout the weekend. And anyway, it's going to be a great time. So if you live in Springfield, come celebrate Kenny. It'd be great to have you there.
You should always celebrate Kenny. There needs to be more Kennys in this world.
Amen to that.
Yeah, I'm just going to be walking around talking.
Talking to yourself.
I'm just going to be walking to wherever I have to go talk. I don't know. I don't have it written down.
Danny is busy doing shows and also saving the burrito industry, as we mentioned. So, you know, if you see him on the street talking to himself, give him a dollar and back away quickly.
Yeah. You better scram. You know, I'm the animal that tells you to scram.
Yeah.
Instead
It's the other way around.
No, but you know, I'll keep you posted. You know, you loyal Shovlos and you sweet Shove heads. I'll keep you posted with the old Instagram at Danny Maupin, MAUPIN. That's it.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, and then we're also on Instagram at Take This Pod and Shove It. I'll post some show info there probably too, especially about Dufour Fest. But anyway, yeah, follow us on the Instagram to keep up with what's going on. The next couple weeks will be a little weird as far as like main feed releases go. There'll be more about that coming down the mountain, but we will have some new episodes for you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and plus I got to take some time to work on this script I've been doing. Did you realize that Forrest Gump and Lieutenant Dan were also in Apollo 13?
Yes.
So I'm working on Space Gump. Gump in space, and they have to go to space to catch more shrimp,
but the Earth has run out of shrimp.
Yeah, and then they find a wormhole that gets them back in time where there's more shrimp.
Oh,
and then sort of a spoiler, you know, it's
there actually, I think
it's a little sci-fi Gump, you know. Yeah. Space mm-hmm. Gump.
Space
Gump in space.
I love that.
Yeah. I gotta take a couple weeks to just go work on that.
I understand. Yeah,
it's pretty big.
You just stay isolated, secluded in a cabin, and you know, just
yeah,
hammer it out.
I'm gonna buy a house off that. Space Gump. Don't steal it, Hollywood!
Take this pot and shove it!